I think the major policy measures that he has announced, which he obviously has been clamoring about, is the protection of local industries. Our economy has been free for all, and I think in any growth path, particularly in our situation where we've got the current deficit like what we have, we need really to encourage local productivity. And the part of that protection of local industry is to make sure that obviously the local industry produces enough for consumption in this market. So it can go a long way depending on how it is going to be implemented.
Mr. Shitambara, we understand that in the budget presentation, Mr. Biti revised downwards the country's growth forecast from about 9.3% this year to 4.4%. What does that mean?
Well, it basically means that the performance of the economy has been affected by a number of factors that we had not been anticipated when the minister presented the budget last year. So he's downgrading the output, the expected output for the changes in output rather for the economy for this year. I think the major challenge is really probably the uncertainties that have limited the inflows of investment, the inflows of capital inflows into the country. So it's just a negative, a downgrade in terms of the forecast by the minister.
My next question will be to you, Mr. Jana, that we also understand that in this budget proposal that Mr. Biti gave out in Parliament today, he's talking about $50 million as a line of credit from Angola. But some people are saying that's just too little. How much can it help Zimbabwe in terms of the problems that the country is facing?
Obviously, Sandra, if you're talking about $50 million for a country, whereas in other companies which have gone into the market and raised $300 million as a single company, what are we talking about? It just goes as far as showing how desperate we are as a country. Today we borrow $50 million as a line of credit from Angola, from $70 million from Botswana, $100 million from South Africa. It's neither here or there, really. I don't think we can survive long-term on a survival mode of being thrown a lifeline in a small way by other African countries like that. Surely, I think we need to sort ourselves out.
Mr. Shitambara, long term, as Mr. Shishanda is suggesting, what can be done long term to ensure that Zimbabwe becomes self-sufficient with all the resources that Zimbabwe has?
Basically, what needs to be done is to deal with the high levels of uncertainty in our political environment and also in the economic environment, to deal with the high political risk factor, the high country risk premium. What is it is, with so many uncertainties, there is a higher premium to doing business in Zimbabwe. There is a higher cost involved in doing business in Zimbabwe. Even for Zimbabwe to attract capital inflows and foreign direct investment into the country, it will be difficult because of those uncertainties. So I think first and foremost, it's important for us as a country to sort our political issues, clean our political house, then that will create, I think, a good framework for economic sustainable economic recovery. So I think the political equilibrium, I think, is needed if we are to move forward economically.
Mr. Shanda, what is your response to what Mr. Shitambara has just said about Zimbabwe putting its house in order in the future?
Obviously, I think the politics have to be sorted out. And hopefully, if the incoming elections and upcoming elections will sort the politics out, and that is good for the country. Because in actual fact, the past 4 years or 5 years, with the GNU, the discord in the GNU, the uncertainty created by GNU, and and so forth, is not all that well within our situation. So one hopes that if we go for elections and then the elections are conducted in a manner that will produce an acceptable outcome, and then I think that is a prerequisite for any country. And then we have a stable government and a government that will focus on economic issues, particularly the issue of the economy, good policies in place, good issues in terms of accountability and transparency, good governance, all those things, When a perception is created, really, those who create the perception, the thing is real. So we need to deal with those perceptions as well and make sure that the country is perceived in the right context like any other country.
And lastly, Mr. Janda, the issue of teachers and, tax exemptions. Can you just explain what Mr. Biti said about teachers in Parliament today?
I heard him very clearly on that aspect. The current situation is really that the teachers are getting a supplementary incentive from parents. And those incentives have been taxed by Zimra. So what the minister has said is that he's going to discourage Zimra from taxing those incentives which the teachers are getting now from parents. I think that is the issue.
Anything else that you think our listeners may want to know that, can change their lives if this budget, works?
Well, whatever happens, really, the change of life, be it at individual level or at national level, requires us as Zimbabweans to wear one hat of being Zimbabweans. and work for the good of our country. And really, I've been very much convinced that one of the issues that we need to do is to localize production. You know, we can't be importing cabbages or lettuce from other countries when we've got this water, sun, people, and the land. No, I think we need to make sure that we are proud of Zimbabwe by buying what we produce here. We tend to want to buy too much of foreign-made goods, which we even don't know what they're made of. So I think one of the things that we think the minister is going to do, particularly in relation to chickens, and I can speak well upon on chickens, that for us we've been importing, you know, even 50 quarter of chickens, you know, the intestines, the heads and whatever from Brazil, in the Israeli country. You know, we can't survive as a country. We need to localize production of most of our commodities in the country. And when we talk about the localizing production, that's when you can talk about poverty alleviation, because if people are engaged in meaningful production, then obviously that will go a long way in alleviating poverty.